Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Spin It Social Hour. My name is Stefan Kaplan, and I want to welcome you here to a great hour, sometimes hour and 15 minutes, maybe a little more, of a great discussion of photography and visuals, where photographers come to share their work and their journeys. The Spin It Social Hour is a labor of love born out of care and concern for our photo community. When this pandemic hit, I decided that I was going to reach out and I was going to try to help photographers around the world get their information out there more, get their work out there more, because let's face facts, there is an economic crisis of epic proportions that has hit, and it has been difficult for everyone in all sectors. We are now 32 weeks into the show. I am proud to say 32 shows. I can't believe it, but I've had a great journey so far in bringing together all of my skills as a social media and visual strategist for this effort for the Spin It Social Hour. So my background is I am a former supervising photo editor at the New York Times. I was there for 20 years, 15 of which were spent as a supervising photo editor. And I'm also a freelance photojournalist who documented many things, including the NYPD for 10 years. My photos are highlighted in the opening segment of Law and Order, SVU. And I am also an adjunct professor currently at the Fashion Institute of Technology. I have worked with the likes of the Pulitzer Prizes for 3 years now, helping them with their announcements and the actual day of the awards. And I have also worked with the Jackson Charitable Foundation, AARP, and Encore.org. And I've lectured and conducted workshops as a social media doctor and many other things at universities, including Princeton, Columbia, NYU, and many others. So it is a pleasure to be here and to bring all my skills together to highlight these great photographers and their great work every week. I have also had the honor of working with Sri Srinivasan and his DigiMentors crew, producing live streams and consulting on social media matters with clients around the world. And the biggest shout out today goes to the sponsor of my show, my friend Emilio Pardo, and the show that we've been developing called Real Talk Live from the Barn. Emilio is a visionary brand strategist and new shows to be announced online soon. Here's a quick look at just the intro.
Hi there. Welcome to Real Talk Live at the Barn.
New shows to be announced online soon. Real Talk, a show dealing with all aspects of COVID-19, from the economy to health and mental issues and the job market right now. So anyway, we are here to feature today the work of the great Anthony Quintano. I've always been in awe of Anthony's work. He is a workhorse, in my opinion, a legend in this industry. Everybody knows his name. Well, almost everybody. And that's why we have him on the show, to make sure that more and more people learn about him. So I am going to highlight Anthony's work with the buildup that I do every week by curating a photographer's work and bringing up these beautiful images for you to enjoy. Despite what you see now, Anthony Quintano claims to be just a social media manager with content creation skills and a strong background in news. Businesses from traditional media to small startups have sought out Anthony's experience to keep their digital strategy consistent with the times. He has overseen social strategy for CMS Management, NBC News, The Today Show, the tech news website Recode.net, and the investigative news website Honolulu Civil Beat. Although he never studied photography, Anthony began taking pictures early in his TV career. Photography quickly became where his interest in the weather and taking risks met, where he pushed the boundaries to get shots no one could or would get. And working for major media, gave him access to indulge his passion for photographing sunrises, blizzards, and hurricanes, and much, much more. In addition, he documented an Olympics, a full election cycle, and the final years of the Obama administration, who often visited and vacationed in Hawaii, where Anthony was living at the time. While in Hawaii, he covered the 2018 volcanic eruption. It earned him a very prestigious recognition from Hawaii in the U.S. Senate and Senator Hirono. I can't tell you, it is an absolute pleasure to bring on Anthony Quintano. He is amazing. Anthony, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me, Stephen.
Oh, man, let me tell you, we met up at the Pulitzers last year. We were standing there as they were giving out, as they were announcing everything with Dana Kennedy. And look at you chiming in from YouTube. Oh, you're the first person to ever do that. I like it. Mr. Tech.
It was the Pulitzers last year. God, it feels like ages ago.
I'm so sorry. Not this year, because we did it virtually this year. Me and Dana and I and the Pulitzer team worked on it virtually, but the year before, sorry. Everything was virtual this year. So
this year has just felt so long. That's real.
Yeah. Are you in that COVID fog too, in terms of memory and dates? And hey, by the way, it's Saturday, right?
Sorry, Siri. I got to turn Siri off on my phone.
Anthony, no Siri. Bad Siri. It's okay. Let's give Anthony and Siri a second to mend their technological love affair here. Are you in this COVID fog too, man? I mean, this is crazy. We already have up to 25 people online watching live. Julia Weeks is here from Brooklyn. Good morning, Julia. Who else do we have saying hello? Baron Bass. Audio is still echoing. Okay. Anybody else get an echo? Please let me know. John Schultz. Good afternoon. Holly from Providence, Rhode Island, a previous guest. Good morning. Who else? Anybody else? Oh, Peter De Silva, morning from the West Coast. Can't wait to see Anthony's work on this week's installment. Peter's a legend himself. So, Anthony.
Thanks, everyone, for all the comments.
You are loved, man. You are admired and loved. So, you know, so what are you up to, man? I mean, how is your morning? How has your week been? How are you feeling?
Doing good. You might hear a cough from me every so often. Don't worry. I've tested negative for COVID recently. So
good.
I think we're okay.
Good. Yeah, it's been a rough ride for everybody. Like I said in the introduction, with the economy, with health, we're all being more careful. We just signed our son up for full remote learning again next semester again, because they're doing a hybrid program. Brooklyn in the house, Ronaldo. Ronaldo is the guy. I'll always say this, put the first camera in my hands. He started it. We used to roller disco at the Roxy. But anyway, you know, it's been rough, man. So you're living in Mount Laurel, New Jersey now, correct?
Yeah. So I previously we had left. I've lived in New Jersey most of my life, especially with my wife. And we moved to Hawaii in 2015 to work at Civil Beat. And we stayed there for about 3 years.
Right.
We moved to Colorado in 2018. Only lived there a year, and we moved back here so that I could start my new job at TD Bank.
Yes.
As manager of visual storytelling. And we moved in March at the start of COVID, which was an adventurous move, coming east and now living down here in South Jersey.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. Well, I love South Jersey. I live way up north. So I live the polar opposite, all the way up north by Ramapo, the mountains up here. We wanted to live up here, but I love the shore. So it must be, especially you with all your technological skills and everything else, you must love getting to the beach. Well, until COVID hit. But how were the beaches down there this summer? Did you go at all?
We did. We went once or twice. We obviously, the boardwalks were very crowded, but we ended up going, I think, to Island Beach State Park, which ended up being not as crowded and gave us the ability to enjoy the beach in a socially distanced way.
Yeah. That's amazing. So the beaches were still crowded. I know Boardwalk was still crowded even this summer, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we only went a few times, but the times we went, it was just, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people without masks, bunched together.
Folks, I'm going to do my little speech here. I dropped it, but I'm going to do it. Okay, here we go. I got mine sent from FIT. Okay, where I teach, they sent us these masks. Please, please, Anthony and I, and many people we work with, are huge advocates of our mask wearing. Anthony's going to put on. Is that a volcano mask?
That's a volcano mask.
Wow, was that made from one of your photos?
The same photo you see behind me. Although you can't tell. Yeah, okay. It's a little hard to tell, but yeah, that's.
So we're going to ask Anthony, are you selling them?
by request. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't get too much demand, so and I have to order these in bulk.
Okay. But,
well, technically, if I get 10 or 20 people with a specific photo, I can get you a photo on a mask.
Okay. Anthony and I have been in the news business. Bob Veritone, a friend of yours. Nice to see you back in New Jersey.
Yeah, Bob. Thank you. Yeah, Bob and I used to work at Verizon Wireless together.
Oh, that's awesome. You know how
not Verizon Wireless, Verizon.
Okay. You know where I met Bob? I met Bob. He was kind enough to come to one of my library lectures on smartphone photography in New Jersey. And we've become really good friends. He's a wonderful, wonderful man and a really great photographer.
Yes. Yes. He has a very great passion for photography. He's always supported my work.
He does. He's doing a new thing now that I love. He's actually putting in haikus with his photography. And I plan on having him on as a guest one day. So he went from coming to my lectures to being a guest one day. I can hardly wait. But listen, folks, breaking news right here on the Spin It Social Hour, okay? So spread the word. Anybody who wants to get on a beautiful photo that Anthony has taken that you'll see during this hour in the buildup, and you want him to make a bunch of masks, he has to do it in bulk like that of a really incredible natural occurrence such as the volcano. I don't want to say a beautiful thing because a lot of people had many issues from the lava and other problems. I don't want it to seem like I'm hyping the volcano, but we care about people here. But the thing is that you can get a photo of Anthony's if you want to do a bunch group thing and get a beautiful mask that you can wear because we're all going to be wearing our masks, right? So anyway, Anthony, your journey has been incredible. Why don't I just be quiet for a second here and let you tell us how you got started? I talked about it a little in the intro, but tell us some other facts and things that we'd want to know about Anthony Quintano and his journey as a photographer and tech specialist.
Thank you. It was very sporadic early on. I was working in TV production, usually as a camera assistant. And a lot of times I would always carry a digital camera with me to capture like behind the scenes moments and stuff like that. And then just kind of, you know, eventually I saw that people were like, hey, can we get those photos that you shot during this show or whatever? And it kind of blossomed from there. And I just kind of grew addicted to being able to share everything I experience through my eyes and what I see. And from there, it just became an addiction. And, you know, from doing meetups with other photographers and learning new things on YouTube, I just kind of, the only way I really learned was shooting all the time, shooting when it didn't matter, shooting when I didn't have a job to do or anything like that, and just kind of having fun with it and just kind of progressed my knowledge and skill around photography.
Well, I call you Inspector Gadget secretly. I hope you don't mind that, because just like a dear old friend of mine who's a retired NYPD detective who had 15 million scanners in his car his whole life, you remind me of him because you are a gadget. You geek out all the time. Our sponsor of the show, Emilio, is logged in. Good morning, Emilio, from Silver Spring, Maryland. But you know, I love the way you geek out though, because you, I mean, how much gear do you have, Anthony? Do you have like a safe in your house?
Yeah. What you don't see is the mess that's on the floor around me is the,
you and me and the rest
gear
of the
and cables and whatnot. But yeah, I try to stay on top with technology. Obviously these days we got to be very careful with finances, but,
right.
I usually try to get the latest phone. I shoot a lot with my phone these days.
Right.
But the GoPros always fascinate me. I'm really into 360 either virtual video or tours. I'm actually doing that for work nowadays.
Okay.
And drones.
Okay. Hey, can we have that shout out from B-More, known as Baltimore? Let's do a shout out to Baltimore and Sharon Renee Taylor. Good morning, Sharon. Appreciate your support for the Spin It Social Hour and all of the work we do in social media and visual land and our photographers. Thank you for being here. Be more. Shout out to Dr. Tachi and Mediascope. Be better at everything. I don't have my shirt on today, but Tachi is Mediascope is a great media live stream to watch. But anyway, Anthony, I know you're a weather like nut. Sorry, I hope you don't mind the word nut. But you are. You love weather stuff. I mean, I used to see you on TV all the time with NBC, being interviewed by the anchors because they were always in awe of your work just the way we all are. What is it about? Well, it's Mother Nature. But, you know, I had Gary Hirshhorn on the show, and he uses a lot of trackers and things. How do you go about, like, getting all these amazing weather shots?
I love Gary. Gary and I have met up a few times chasing lightning over the skyline of Manhattan. I do a very similar fashion. I have a professional app called Radar Scope, which a lot of storm chasers use to watch a very detailed radar to kind of see, and I want to say predict, but kind of give you a heads up as to where the possibility for something visual might happen.
Okay.
A lot of times you can see a band of rain, and usually when you see a band, kind of a line of rain on a radar, that usually could potentially draw something like the photo that you're displaying right now, which is a shelf cloud.
Right. Yeah. No, that's an incredible photo. I've never seen one. I've always wanted to see like a cloud formation like that. By the way, Bob Veritone was asking a question. Let's throw that back up on the screen right away. Since we are streaming to Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, please, folks, everybody share this broadcast. Don't just hit like, please. I'm not trying to be a little social media piggy here, but please share the broadcast because that really amplifies everything. And it gets Anthony's name out there more and more, and that is the goal. Bob asks, I'm due for a cell phone update. What would you recommend for taking photos? The new iPhone Pro?
Bob, good question. It all depends on what you have now. Currently, I have the 11 Pro Max, which is the highest end from last year's update. If you have the latest update from last year, it's definitely not necessary to upgrade to the 12, which, and I use iPhones. I don't have any experience around the Android devices, so I can't really speak to them. But I hear Google Pixel is right up there and competing with Apple. So, but if you're on an iPhone 8 or an iPhone 7, which a lot of people tend to be, I would definitely upgrade to the 11 or 12.
Okay. Well, Emilio,
Pro End.
Emilio, the sponsor of the show, says, I just got the new Pro Max. The eye camera is amazing. I think he just got it last night. So he must have ran out this morning and started taking pictures.
Yeah.
I'm a Droid user. It's funny. I'm a Mac man. Look at that. You just answered another question for Sharon.
I'm happy to help, Sharon.
I love about going live like this and being able to bring in real-time stuff. By the way, this real-time production is brought to you, well, not brought to you, but streamed through StreamYard, my platform of choice. I am in love with StreamYard. It's changed my life. It is the best platform out there to live stream through. Allows you to multiple stream, bring on many guests, up to 10 guests at once, and have live questions from all the platforms. So I'm a Droid user, I got to confess, but I'm a Mac guy. But you're an iPhone guy. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And you said you shoot mainly with your phone these days. How do you feel about that, Anthony? Because I'm always torn as a purist who's shot for years with some of the best cameras. I've been a previous Nikon user and a Samsung NX user, actually, the NX1 Pro. That was the only mirrorless camera they ever made Pro. But how do you feel? Are you ever torn about it? Do you ever feel guilty about using your phone?
No. And most of the time I have I shoot with the Sony A7 R3. Not too long ago, I'd say about 2 years ago, I switched from Canon. I was shooting on Canon for a long time, and I just kind of got tired of their lack of innovation. And Sony has kind of destroyed the market. And I invested in Sony, but unfortunately I couldn't invest afford to invest in glass. So I'm using a Metabones adapter to still use my Canon lenses on the Sony camera. So it's not the greatest scenario, but it works.
Okay. Well, Sharon asks you, Anthony, do you ever use iPads for shooting?
No. I actually refrain, and I don't recommend anybody using tablets. I don't want to say, you know, there is that attitude that, you know, whatever camera you have or whatever you use is you know, the best camera. But me personally, I know the cameras are not, the lenses are not the greatest quality on tablets. So I refrain from using them. I'm a big fan of high resolution, no noise and stuff like that. And you kind of get that with tablets. But if that's all you have, keep shooting with it.
The one, you know, absolutely. And you know, the one thing that I always say in my smartphone photography lectures that I do at libraries throughout Bergen County is, you know, shoot with what you're comfortable with. You can create with anything. Just create is my way of telling everybody. Go out there and shoot. You know, use your skills, use the skills, technological ability that's in your hands. I mean, we have the most incredible devices at our disposal, you know? So
I would to go back to the phone thing. I highly recommend, especially if you're learning photography, get a DSLR. You need to learn how to shoot in manual.
That's right.
You shooting on iPhones and stuff, it's all computational photography. It's not, I don't want to say real photography, but it's kind of like, you know, writing on pencil and paper before actually jumping onto the computer. You know, make sure you learn how to write before you jump on and start typing. Highly recommend making sure you get a DSLR, even if it's on a low end, to get familiar with how to shoot manual.
Right. Well, Sharon's on the ball here this morning. Are there any lenses or other fixtures I should use to maximize my 11 Max Pro?
That's a great question, because I get that a lot. A lot of people tend to put third-party lenses on. The best shooting, from my experience, on any mobile device is the lens that's on the phone. Don't add anything to it. If you want to get funky with kind of effects and stuff, get a fisheye lens or a wide angle lens or something along those lines. But the great thing now with the latest iPhones is that you now have a wide angle lens and you have a telephoto lens. So I highly recommend keeping it as is and don't add anything to it.
Right. And I'll just add, with this photo up on the screen, I highly encourage people to please do not play in helicopters unless you're Anthony Quintano. Okay.
Stephanie, if you don't mind, to go back to the shelf cloud.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think I sent you a video too, because this was one scenario where I love to give advice about, because I'm always paying attention to what's going on, especially weather. Okay. This was an unplanned thing.
Okay, let's show the clip. Let's show the clip. Hold on. Okay, let's show the clip. I'm going to mute for a second. Hold on.
Am I able to talk during this? Okay. So if you guys can hear me still, my wife and I, this was a scary experience, because we've never seen this kind of weather phenomenon in person at this scale. But early, I would say about an hour before this happened, it was a clear sunny day. There were no clouds around or anything. And we went to this beach. This is Race Point Beach in Cape Cod. It's like the very tip of Cape Cod. And we were going there for sunset. And all of a sudden, you can see this cloud formation start coming off the horizon and building and building. And this is what came out. And then the most impressive thing is it never rained on us. We're standing here almost underneath it at this point, and it just got really windy and really ominous and scary. My wife's actually, you can't hear her, but she's actually yelling at me to run, because we were scared about what was going to happen. You can kind of see at some point over here as I turn what looked like tornadoes coming down and touching down towards the in the distance there. And we were all worried that something was going to either we were going to get hit by lightning or what. But it was this amazing experience. So if you ever get a chance to experience this, one thing I always say is be patient with something, especially sunsets. Don't run away if something looks like it's fading or it's not coming out the way you want it. Give it time and hold your ground, because sometimes if you walk away and you turn around 5 minutes later, you're missing something amazing.
Well, by the way, folks, let me tell you something. Anthony's a serious, serious guy when it comes to a lot of things. But let me tell you, he likes to have fun too. So check this out.
Awesome. I'm here with a group of volunteers who are bringing the supplies to Hanalei.
Actually was tweeted out by Anthony Quintana, who works for us at NBC over at NBC News.
But then it ended with amazing sunset pictures. Oh, wow. This is fabulous. I haven't seen this one yet.
Now, if you want to follow a fantastic photographer, give you the best that New York has to offer, is Anthony Quintana. All of his pictures are always great, but give him a good
through
sunset.
His eyes. Yeah. He puts the weather in the background so beautifully in every single scene.
Thanks for showing that, man. Andy, thank you. I wouldn't know YouTube if it wasn't for you, man.
Wow, that was exciting, man. I had to show that. That's the best sizzle reel ever, man. I love the name sizzle reel. It just always gets me excited.
Thank you. Speaking of a photographer you should have on one of these days, Andy Felicotti is an amazing photographer in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Well, definitely, text me his information or put it in the chat here. I will do my research and definitely bring him on one day. So speaking of having fun and many other things, let me bring up the screen again so we can have a bunch of your work on as we're talking here. And let me go to about here. But before we get into the technological aspect of this, we're going to talk about your drone use and all the work you do with drones. Actually, I'm going to bring this up right here. We're going to bring on Julia Weeks, my friend and dear colleague, Julia Weeks. Good morning, Julia.
Hi, good morning, you guys. How are you?
Good, good. Good morning. Coming to us from Brooklyn, New York.
Yes. I'm a huge Anthony fan, so it's an honor to be here and to have the chance to ask you a question. Okay, surprise!
Thank you. I'm very jealous of your job, by the way. I wish I could work for you.
Julia, by the way, folks, is a dear colleague of mine with DigiMentors, but she's a main photo editor for the AP Photo Images Archive. Julia, you want to tell everybody a quick little thing about the AP Images Archive?
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. So a colleague of mine and myself started an AP Photo Archive Instagram account about a year ago. So still trying to grow followers, but you can follow us at AP Photo Archive on Instagram. Shows a lot of just historical gems. Today we feature a photo of Ruby Bridges, who integrated a school in 1960 in New Orleans. So lots of historical content. Barrier breaking stuff. So hopefully you guys will follow us. But
there we go, Julia. It's right there for everybody.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So, We have to tell everybody knows how to find the AP, so I don't need a banner for them. But the AP Photo Archive on Instagram, follow them, folks, please. It's a must follow. And Julia does a fantastic job. But Julia, I know you just bought a drone.
Yes.
You know, we were chatting and you're all excited saying I bought a drone. So there's nobody better to ask a question of about a drone usage than Anthony. So that's why here you are.
Here I am. So I'm super excited. I just bought this drone. It's the DJI Mavic Mini. So I bought it from Costco, but then I found out that they released a Mavic Mini 2. So I said, no, I need the most up-to-date one. And my partner's like, oh, can't you just use the old one? And I'm like, no, I can't because the new one has 4K. You know, it's supposed to be better transmitting wise. So I guess my question to you is, where can I fly a drone in New York City or Connecticut or New Jersey? It's limited.
Yeah.
See, when I invested in my drone, I was living in Hawaii where we had a lot more freedom, to fly around. And unfortunately it's only going to get worse. So I'd be weary about investing in a drone, at this point because, they're actually going to be coming out with a drone. I'm not an expert in drone law or anything like that, but I believe I follow a few YouTubers who do report on it, and they're coming to a point where they're going to be possibly passing a law where you have to have an identity tracker on each and every drone. And basically, the FAA will be able to track a drone like a plane or a helicopter, for instance. But restrictions in New York City are very, you can't fly anywhere in New York City.
There's like five parks, I think. So there's like Flushing Meadow Park, which would be great to get the Unisphere. But yeah, that's about Calvert Park, maybe in Brooklyn. There's only a handful. There's not many at all.
Yeah. And then the issue with the parks is that you technically are not allowed to fly over people. So, it gets dicey. So my advice to you is get out of the city, go upstate, go to Pennsylvania, get away from any airports. Obviously, I use AirMap, which is an app on the phone to find out where the restrictions are.
Great. Okay.
Sometimes I take some risks and fly in certain areas. I never, ever fly near an airport. I try to avoid it at all costs.
Yes.
So, and then be conscious of what's around you. The other thing to be aware of too, especially with the little drones, as you can see here, Stefan has one of my older drones. This is what I start out with. The small drones are great starter drones because they're like GoPros in a sense, price wise. So if you lose it or you break it, it's not as devastating as the bigger ones and the more expensive ones. So be careful with these because on a windy day, they can get carried away.
Okay, that's great advice. Sure.
I learned the hard way.
I wonder if any hawks or eagles have ever grabbed any. There was a spoof going around on the internet. They actually got me in Alberta or Manitoba or somewhere. They basically had a post that it was a real eagle, but they made up the story that joking around that the eagle was actually helping the police down some drones.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's happened. I've had a few birds dive at my drones in the air.
Wow.
I've never had one hit it, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully.
But I think the scary scenario was in Colorado where there was an occasion where I was high up on one of the mountains and put it up, and it was very windy. And I actually had to drive and chase down my drone because it flew away. The wind carried it. I couldn't push it back. The wind was so strong that I couldn't get it back. And luckily I was able to lower it where it was and meet it. Be very conscious of the weather conditions.
Funny sidebar. The first time our son, I took him out to fly a drone that we had gotten from Bed Bath & Beyond of all places. grandma had gotten it for him for Christmas. We went to the park nearby. Registered it. I did all the things I was supposed to do, and we crashed it right into a tree.
Oh, no. My worst nightmare.
Anyway, but you know what's interesting, Anthony? The Craig Newmark CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, I believe in the tri-state area and the Northeast, is the only school that has a actual course in drone journalism.
I think you're right. I've seen that. I would like to take that.
Yeah, no, here, I'm going to show everybody. So if anybody's ever interested, I'm going to quickly pull that up because I always love the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and everything they do there. So shout out to them, the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism. But drone journalism right here. Course details. There's the small description. Look them up. And very easy to find and take, you know, see about maybe taking a course in a, as a non-student, non-matriculated student, but see if you can take it.
That's awesome.
Yes. And look up 51 Drones on YouTube. He specifically covers drone law.
Oh, wow.
And he's very up to date, very good YouTuber when it comes to being aware of what's going on with what the FAA is up to.
Is it true, and this is my last question, that it's like 249 grams or something? It's a certain size that because it's so small, you don't have to register with the FAA?
Yeah, I heard something about that, but I think they're on top of it already.
Of course.
You know, DJI tries to get a jump on the FAA, and then the FAA reacts.
They catch up.
Oh, look at that. Anthony loaded the thing already. The great thing about StreamYard, the platform that I'm using now, is that we can actually go to any clickable link in a private area, and I can quickly bring it up. So the ease of use of this platform gets more and more amazing every week. Here's a quick look at the site. I'm not going to play any videos right now, but here's 51 drones that Anthony was talking about, 117,000 subscribers. Man, I want that kind of YouTube following.
You're well on your way.
Oh, well, you know, I had 200 views on the show we did on the Mexico-U.S. border artists with Stefan Falke, a previous guest. So maybe I am on my way. I hope so. But, Julia, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. And hopefully we can all get together maybe in real life in New Jersey sometime soon. That would be great.
Well, as long as everybody keeps wearing these masks, right, people? And be able to at least see each other from a distance when we go to the park or something. So please wear your masks. Anyway, right. Julia, have
thank
a
great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great to see you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Julia Weeks from the AP Photo Archive. What an honor and beautiful to have her on. She's a great, great person. Brooklyn down, as I say. So let's put your work back on the screen here because I want to talk about this. Anthony, what do we have here?
this is the step up from the consumer 360 cameras. This is I want to say the level two. This is the Insta360 Pro 2. This has six lenses on it, and it shoots 8K 360 video.
Wow.
And 8K with 360 cameras is very different than, say, an 8K standard camera in the sense that it's not actually 8K that you're watching. Basically, it's 8K the entire 360 image. I don't know if I'm describing that correctly, but basically, it's a higher end quality than your standard prosumer 360 camera. This isn't actually mine. This is TD's, TD Bank, who is having, I'm doing some community work with virtual tours.
Right.
Virtual tours obviously have blown up this year because of COVID. Since you can't go to a lot of places, we're trying to take people there. So I did a tour of the High Line in New York City. And coming up soon, I'm going to be doing one in Philadelphia in one of their parks.
Wow, man, I tell you, man, the stuff that you do with you know, these types of devices and everything else, let's see if we could find a quick clip here. Hold on.
I think you have a New Year's Eve. I used the consumer level 360 camera, the Insta360, I think they're up to the 1R model now.
Right.
But there's a, the great thing about these cameras is that you can actually, even though you shot it in 360, I can actually segment out a standard 16:9 video of any perspective in that 360 image. So they're a lot of fun to explore. They also have this cool effect where they kind of combine the 360 image into one frame,
right,
and it looks like you're standing on the planet. It's called Tiny Planet.
Right.
The effect. So you can see actually there on your right, if you scroll down a little bit.
Hold on.
You kind of see me holding a selfie stick up in the air.
Yep. We're going to right here. Yep.
Yeah. So this is an example of a shot with that, where you get a much better wide angle view. And you can see the Times Square ball above me. I'm very lucky every year to be able to work the camera. So when you watch the ball drop every year, that last minute where you see the ball coming down, really tight shot.
Right.
That's actually my camera that I control.
Right.
Broadcast for everywhere. So that last minute New Year's Eve, if you're watching the TV, that's my camera that I'm controlling, following the ball down as it comes down.
Yeah, no, you're amazing shots. I have one that we'll show. I'm going to, by the way, so that's Anthony's Instagram feed, which we've been showing all throughout the show. I'm going to bring up. So one of the things that we're going to take a quick look at here is we're going to show, as you've done, you've also done incredible work in Hawaii when the volcano in 2018 erupted. And we're going to give a quick look at that real quick here. And we're going to go full screen.
Yeah, this is a Fisher 8. This what you're looking at now was actually a neighborhood full of homes.
Wow.
And this came up out of the ground. Luckily, everybody got out in time. But this actually used to be a neighborhood, residential area.
Whoa.
And this was the most amazing life-changing experience I've ever done in my career. And this year I'm actually flying over this in a helicopter with two other local Hawaii photographers who do amazing work. Bruce Omori, who flies almost every day, or used to when the eruption was going on.
Right.
But I mean, as you can see, this lava river here was flowing at sometimes at 80 miles an hour.
80 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's hard to imagine, lava moving at 80 miles an hour throughout an area, devastating homes and everything else. My God. Yeah, I remember when this happened, man. I mean, it was scary to think about, you know, getting people out of there. And I mean, and we're going to show some photos of the National Guard and everything to make sure that we give big shout outs to the National Guard and everybody that helped with this. But Anthony, what was it like? I mean, you got pretty close to some of these things, the heat, the intensity of it. Tell us about that.
Yeah. There was a, when I first arrived, so I was actually away. I was in Yosemite when the eruptions first started. And, when I got back to Hawaii, I made my way over to the Big Island where this was occurring, and everything had stopped. All the eruptions had stopped, and I was like, oh, I missed it. Mm. The following morning, what you're looking at here is what's called a fissure, a lava fissure.
Right.
It's not your traditional volcano, or what you would think of as a traditional volcanic eruption.
Right.
Basically, these holes would open up in the ground sporadically. And erupt. That following morning, a fissure opened up in a cow pasture, and it was a time that it was early enough that we were able to just kind of walk right up to it.
Wow.
And we spent the whole morning just kind of documenting this fissure while it's shooting up lava rocks. And eventually one of the rocks hit my shoulder.
Whoa.
And I had thought it was, you know, an actual drop of like liquid lava.
Right.
And so I freaked out and I looked and I see my, melted hole in my vest. And, I panicked because, you know, in my mind, lava is like acid, right? It just keeps burning through.
Right.
Whatever. So I'm like panicking, looking under my shirt. Did it go through? Was there anything in there? Luckily it was basically a hot rock that hit me. It had already cooled in the air when it landed. And the reporter next to me, a female reporter next to me, freaked out when I told her. And she's like, is it in my hair? And you know, it was a kind of panic moment because all these lava rocks are like landing us while we're trying to take pictures of this volcano.
So I'm curious,
scary experience.
So I can only imagine, man. And I only want to imagine. I mean, I would not mind trying to document something like that, but as a, as a photographer, but you know, I definitely have not done the type of, you know, intense stuff that you've done this way with volcano and fissure eruptions and things like that. So tell us, I mean, from this height, taking something like this, I mean, the heat, the intensity of this oil, I mean, the air quality and everything. I mean, when you're flying above with a helicopter, I mean, the helicopters, I mean, these are seasoned pros, obviously, you know, all helicopter pilots doing this type of work. But it must be pretty intense also just being up in the air doing this, right?
Extremely. So this is a very similar situation to what I used to do in New York City, where the doors are off the helicopter and you're hanging off the side, but you're harnessed in. We felt the heat. Just it was like standing in front of a bunch of pizza ovens that were open. Even I think we're at where were we at 30,000 feet, I think. Not 30,000, sorry. 3,000 feet. 3,000 feet up, and that was as low as you could go. There was a restriction in the area.
Right.
And you could still feel the heat while we're hanging out. Not to the point where it was burning you, but to the point where you were sweating. It's just raw natural power that, you know, I highly recommend it. If you can experience it safely, definitely do it. But this was not like, you know, I've always dreamed of like seeing lava in person, like going on a tour or something casual. I never dreamed of experiencing something like this. And to be able to cover this for 2 months. There was a point where we ended up getting trapped in a house, with this fissures popping up all around us.
Sure.
And we weren't trapped necessarily because of the lava. We were trapped more as that, Hawaii civil defense wasn't letting people near the area unless you were in a house. Mm-hmm. And we were in a house that luckily was an uphill or on top of a hill.
Right.
And so there was no threat to lava coming towards us, even though it was fairly close to our location.
Right. Because people, you know, people have to understand this isn't like cleaning up mud. once it takes over an area like it did right here, it solidifies. And then, I mean, it's, look at this. I mean, it consumed the whole area. And that one, this is a really incredible photo because it shows that little piece of road that's left in the middle of all this lava that has turned to, you know, solid rock, right?
Yep, exactly. This whole land, they've actually now that all the lava stopped, by the way, even in the national park, there's actually no lava that's visible on the ground right now or on the surface. But now they've actually, the roads that you see here have all been carved out in the lava that covered it. So you can essentially drive on top of this lava eruption now on the big island. Yeah.
Huh. Well, you know, I love this shot because this is the ultimate photographer here, folks, because Anthony makes sure that he gets every angle and always thinks of wide, long, far, you know, distant, near. It doesn't matter. This is what trained photojournalists do. And multimedia specialists is they make sure they cover all angles. And was this from Mount Mauna Kea?
This is from Mauna Kea. This is the view. So the eruption was actually pretty far from there.
Right.
I want to say a good 40, 50 miles.
Right.
But the glow, I mean, you could actually have seen it from space.
Yeah, look at that. I mean, I was there. We went there for our honeymoon and we went to the top, to the observatory up there. And it was the experience of a lifetime being able to see the Milky Way from there and everything else. I remember lying down on the top there, just looking at the stars, and I felt like you were in heaven, you know?
Yeah, it's majestic up there. It's freezing cold too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
this is the only place in Hawaii where it snows, and sometimes in the summer or towards the end of summer.
Mitchell Silver, the New York City Parks Commissioner, is here. Mitchell, thank you. We're honored. Can't stay long, but wanted to show my support. Mitch means the world. From LinkedIn, too. Thank you, Mitchell. Thank you. Mitchell's our great New York City Parks Commissioner and a really, really great photographer. By the way, Anthony, I don't know if you've ever heard of Mitchell.
No.
Well, Anthony, meet Mitchell virtually for now.
I love your parks, Mitchell. Thank you for joining us. I love shooting Central Park, especially this time of year.
Yeah, I grew up around Mitch, and he was like a big brother to me in many ways. The great thing about Mitchell is he's a great photographer who about three or four years ago, I had the wonderful moment of going to the Arsenal, you know, the building in Central Park where the Central Park Zoo is, that one of those old buildings where the people have offices that work for the parks, like Mitchell, who's the commissioner. And Commissioner Silver was having a show, a retrospective about his work and his dad's work, because his dad, Irving Silver, I wish I had met him, man, because it's a beautiful family. Irving was an incredible photographer and a veteran, too. So anyway, so
I said there's a Rose. Rose had a question.
Oh, what's Rose's question? Let's see. I was going on about Mitchell. Yes. Let's see what else we have here about Commissioner Silver. Rose says, what drew you and your wife to live in Hawaii? Was it the opportunity to film the amazing fauna, volcanoes, and expand your range as a photographer?
So I had spent it's a great question, Rose. Thank you. A lot of the reason why I wanted to go to Hawaii was to expand. Exactly that is to expand my photography skills. My hopes were to, get a job and do my job as my passion, which is photography. I was doing social media for a while, and I kind of really wanted to change my environment and be able to photograph something different. I've always been a fan of Clark Little. Clark Little is an amazing, amazing photographer in Hawaii who shoots what's called shore break photography. Basically, he does even more dangerous stuff than I've ever done and jump inside these enormous waves and get the photos of things that nobody can capture unless you're a surfer. Mm. And so he kind of inspired me to get out there. And luckily I was working with a small newsroom who gave me the freedom and ability to do journalism, photojournalism in Hawaii.
Something like this, I guess, huh, Anthony?
Yes, exactly that, except nowhere near that.
You know, I'm ready for anything you're going to talk about, right?
That's good. That's good. It's very good. This is actually taken with a GoPro, and this wave is actually nowhere near as big as it looks. Because the camera is so small, this is actually a very small wave. and it looks ginormous because it fills the frame. But that's kind of where you get the perspective of things, right? But this is a very, very tiny wave, probably is no higher than your calf muscles on your leg.
That is so cool. You know, you see, folks, this is what you can learn from a pro like Anthony, who's so skilled with everything. Rose says, I was doing social media, but I wanted to change my focus and do something different. Anthony, oh, she's tweeting and posting for you. Rose is a dear colleague. Follow her on Twitter, Rose Horowitz 31, and also follow her hashtag Women to Follow. Rose built a huge thing on Twitter called Women to Follow about some of the most important women and women everywhere that are doing incredible things that everybody should know about. So check her out, everybody. But Anthony, I want to go back to a photo here because I don't want to possibly skip over this. But we see the beauty, but we also see the devastation. And we want to mention and give a big shout out to the National Guard. And tell us a little about the work that they did to secure the areas and make sure you and everybody was safe.
Yeah, this is actually Major Jeff Hickman, who I've remained friends with since this. They were very protective of us and gave us the ability to cover the volcanic eruption. If it wasn't for them and Jeff fighting our battles to be able to access certain areas, because civil defense did not want people around or near it. And so Jeff fought for us, and he knew how important it was to tell this story of this historic eruption. And so he had our backs and would get us in there and make sure we were, you know, taking precautions, which is why you see me wearing the respirator, even though we were at a distance. Big shout out to them, Andrew Jackson, who took this photo of me, who was also, on his team. He was also documenting what we were experiencing.
Okay. Yes. Andrew Jackson, folks, took this photo. It's from Anthony's Facebook page, but we want to acknowledge who took the photo, and check him out, Andrew Jackson, on Instagram. And, also, you know, the importance, Julia, actually, Julia's partner, Isra, is in the National Guard. So that's another reason I wanted to give a big shout out to the National Guard and all the service that they do, especially right after Veterans Day. But, you know, you are also, oh, you're always a big advocate for taking all the precautions necessary. And that's what I love about you. You don't play. I remember even when you came to New Jersey, you went shopping. I saw the photo of you. You went in the supermarket with this mask on.
Yeah, it came in handy after the eruption.
When COVID hit, right?
A few people out in the supermarket when I walked around with this at the time. But yeah, you know, this is early on in the COVID when we weren't sure what was protective or not. So obviously I don't use that anymore.
You know, switching up from that in Hawaii, tell us, I found this photo and it really touched my heart. Because if I'm correct, that's a firefighter. Am I correct?
That's correct. That's the fire chief, actually, for Honolulu.
Okay.
Who is Native Hawaiian. And this is King Kamehameha's statue in Honolulu.
Wow.
And this is what's called the breath. And this is what Native Hawaiians do, is they put their foreheads up against each other and share life. And that's this moment is this is actually a lay ceremony. Mm-hmm. What they do is they drape these long, extravagant lays over the arms of the statues and around the neck and the arms and the base. It's a very beautiful ceremony that happens in the springtime every year in Hawaii, in Honolulu.
It is an absolutely beautiful moment. I tell you, when I went to Hawaii, I fell in love with the people of Hawaii. Just a wonderful, wonderful place. I'm so I can't wait to get back one day. Dr. Tachi, as we call her, from Mediascope. Thank you. Thank you, Tachi, for being here. She is always one of the bigger, as she says, B-R, E-R. Everything E-R with her is attached to something. And I have a shirt. I didn't wear it today, but I will next time. That says Be More-er. Anyway, thank you for watching, Dr. Tachi. We appreciate it. Mediascope, check them out. I'm going to bring on Jonathan Borstein, my co-producer and my incredible help every week, and my good friend, Jonathan. Introduce yourself, please. And if you have a question for Anthony, this is your moment every week that we bring you on.
Yes, I'm a full-time flaneur, a sometime writer, and a part-time tech. I apologize, my voice is not in good form today.
It's okay.
My question has to do with a social media platform that has never been discussed in this program before, and that is TikTok.
Your presence there.
How did that come about? How is it working for you? And why should people over 30 look into it?
Well, I have to say, a great question. Thank you for bringing it up, because I'm in love with TikTok. I'm not too thrilled with Instagram anymore and have kind of moved away from it. TikTok, the growth is amazing. The instant growth is amazing. And it's for everybody. It's not just for influencers. And it's not just for people doing video, and it's not people just dancing and lip syncing. There's a lot of people doing very different things, from teaching, cooking, tips and stuff like that. They actually created a whole education section on TikTok recently, and they just continue to explode. If you want to reach a lot of people and you want to do it quickly, get on TikTok. If you're not familiar with how to do video for it, they have cool tools within the platform that you can edit video to do it to post, or you can edit in Final Cut Pro or Adobe, whatever your preference.
Well, let's give people a taste of your TikTok, why don't we?
Yeah, sure.
That's an incredible.
Get on it. If you haven't created an account, do it now.
Hold on one
second. Trump tried to ban it, but it's not going anywhere. If anything, it's growing in leaps and bounds. And I was able to grow 16,000 followers within a few months.
That's impressive.
And that's the key thing is, like any platform early on, this is me goofing off, obviously. There's a great audio that goes along with this, that it's a scene from Home Alone.
It's Kevin. Here you go, Kevin. Kevin's not here.
Kevin's not here. Kevin's not here.
Kevin's not here. So, yeah, so naturally, that's just me having fun. It took me 2 hours to make that one, obviously, with all the different outfits. But I usually share a lot of visuals. Anything visually stunning that stands out, my fall foliage stuff.
But the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping.
So the great thing is if you, whenever I go out and shoot now, I always make sure that I shoot video on my phone. I shoot it either both vertically and horizontally. So I have it. But the key thing now is to get video of any video, any photos I shoot, I shoot a video form of it. And I upload it here.
Is there a particular type of video you find gets more response?
The key with TikTok is trends. If you look at what's trending, try to come up with something that you've either shot before or go out and shoot something that's related to that trend. Travel is very big on TikTok, so I try to put up a lot of my video of travel, like this scene here at Bryce Canyon. For instance, you know, Halloween, Christmas, the holidays are coming. So the more you do anything that's Christmas related or Hanukkah or any kind of holiday that's in that moment would be key. But you'll notice with TikTok, the key thing too with discovery is the music. And TikTok has a library. Stefan, can you hear me still?
I was concerned about music.
So the TikTok music might be might come up with the Facebook thing. But so the thing with TikTok is that a lot of the songs can be used on the platform. And if you use a song that's trending, you can actually search other videos that use that song and be discovered. Hashtags are also very similar to Instagram or another way of discovery. Bob had asked why I moved away from Instagram. Nobody sees my stuff on Instagram anymore. Nobody sees it. Nobody comments on it. And so TikTok is not only amazing for getting views,
right?
But the comments and the engagement that I've gotten on that platform far outweighs anything I ever got on Instagram.
Wow. That's great. Listen, that is great, info to share with our audience. By the way, folks, you're watching the Spin It Social Hour. And we have a little more to go with Anthony Quintano, a phenomenal photographer, multimedia specialist, who currently works as a visual storyteller with TD Bank. But it is wonderful to have him here. So I want to encourage everybody, as we still have an amazing 25 live viewers watching, please share this broadcast and please make sure that everybody in your network knows about the Spin It Social Hour and Anthony's work. So please don't just hit the like button. Please hit the share button and share with your network and friends, because everybody wants to know about Anthony. Trust me. So, you know, Jonathan, thank you for coming on and asking that question. And of course, bringing you on as the person behind the scenes driving the Ferrari, as I call it.
Rolls Royce.
Okay. We got to stay classy here, folks. Rolls Royce. So, Jonathan, thank you. We'll see you soon. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, so let's get back to some visual storytelling here. Man, I've always wanted to go up in a hot air balloon. Were you shooting this from another balloon, or were you shooting this from the ground?
This one, I believe, is from the ground. I have shot from a hot air balloon. You want to talk about scary. I think it's more scary to fly in a hot air balloon than it is a helicopter.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. First of all, you're standing next to these canisters of gas that are, you can explode at any time.
Okay.
And we're in this basically giant wicker basket, that, And the other thing that the if you've ever been in a hot air balloon, you'll know that you don't land flat when you land. And you also can't control where you're going in a hot air balloon. You land and you go in the direction where the wind takes you. And when you land, you drag. You don't just plop down. It all depends on the weather, obviously. But when the one experience or the two experiences we've had is that the balloon, the basket drops and then it drags because the wind, the balloon is still in the air. And the basket is essentially you're sideways hanging out of the basket as it is trying to slow down and stop.
This is a stunning photo though, because the angle, you know, just using, you know, the frame the way you did and everything and the colors of that balloon plus the circular shape of it is just lends itself to an absolutely stunning photo.
There's a great event in New Jersey, and obviously because of COVID, but there's a great hot air balloon event in New Jersey.
I hope to make it one day. I really do. I really do. If we get control of this thing, I would love to go with my wife and our son. But you're a big fan, as I am, of doing panos too, panoramics. And I love panoramics. You can do so much with them because I love the fact that you can also then crop them down too if you wanted to tighten up the shot a bit. This is beauty. Where is this from, Anthony?
So I actually took this with my drone.
Okay.
This is in the Rockies. This is in Colorado.
Wow.
And there's a small town in the bottom area there towards the left. You can kind of see it. But really what I was trying to capture is what's called lenticular clouds.
Yeah.
They basically look like pancakes in the sky.
Yeah.
And I really just wanted to get an idea of what it looked like all around. And you can actually see there's a ski resort in the right side of the image. You can actually see the tracks.
Yeah.
This is one of the beautiful things is the weather in Colorado and Denver is just amazing to capture.
No, yeah. Shout out to Colorado, Fort Collins, Rocky Mountain National Park. I've been to them visiting friends there. Wow. It's just amazing. I love Colorado, man. Beautiful.
Yeah. And one thing to note, too, to go back to drones, is that this was shot with a drone. You can't fly in national parks with a drone. So note there. This is not in a national park. This is outside of Rocky National, but you could see it in the distance.
Right. So I would imagine that some people have, and I don't encourage this, and nobody should do this, is starting their drone out outside of the park and then still trying to capture images. None of that is allowed. So keep that in mind, folks. Okay. But you've also shot some incredible work, done some incredible work surrounding eclipses and everything. I mean, this is a beauty, man.
Yeah, this is the eclipse, the most recent eclipse or full total eclipse that we've had in this was in 2017.
Right.
We were living in Hawaii at the time, and I needed to experience this, so I dragged my wife out to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And we got up onto Teton Village. And I had rented an 800 millimeter lens, Canon lens, to be able to get this tight. So that I actually have this image tight. This is actually a composite of the various stages that I shot of the eclipse.
Right.
But let me tell you, it was so hard to focus once the once we were in totality, it was so amazing and such an emotional experience that we got hooked. Even my wife, like we both thought, it's going to be over. It's going to be quick. It's not going to be anything amazing, whatever. Right. We had it all wrong. It was absolutely, I think I was tearing at one point because it was so emotional. I had never seen anything like it. And to be in totality is something to experience. So if you have the opportunity, and I think we're going to all have an opportunity again in 2024, from New York to Texas, I highly recommend getting within totality. If you can do it in somewhere, we were actually on the top of a summit of a mountain. And the amazing thing about that is that we can actually see the progression of the shadow coming towards us. And it was beautiful to be able to see it from a high up perspective instead of on the ground.
Yeah, I would love to have seen more of it. We were actually traveling to Jasper and Banff when this happened, and we were in an airport, small airport. I believe it was in Calgary, And we were connecting somewhere, and basically it was either Edmonton or Calgary. I can't remember. But anyway, there were all these construction workers in the airport terminal, and they were using their helmets that they use for welding and everything to be able to give people in the terminal a chance to take a look through their visors without hurting their eyes, of course, unlike Mr. Genius last year or 2 years ago, who was looking right up at the sky. You know who I mean by Mr. Genius. We don't need to mention him anymore.
Well, the other thing to know, if you do shoot a solar eclipse, especially a total one like this, you have to have special filters on your lens. Otherwise, you'll destroy your camera. Because it will actually burn a hole into your sensor. You have to be very careful when it comes to shooting any kind of eclipse. And you just look it up. You'll actually see on my YouTube channel, there's a couple of videos I did behind the scenes.
Right.
You can see on the 800 millimeter lens, I had to get special filters for the large lens.
Right.
And then I had to custom build this filter with a kind of foam board material so that it could sit on it.
Right. I thought that's what it was. I was going to put that in the slideshow.
Oh no, yeah, it's okay. It's a little hard to see, but
by the way, I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to. Peter DeSilva is offering you a meetup. Peter DeSilva, put that back up, Jonathan. Peter says, Anthony, let's do 2024, baby.
Let's do it. I'm doing it. And the great thing is, it's going to be in New York. It's going to be right here. So
yes, bring Peter to New York. I want to see Peter. Okay, even if it's social distancing, I want to see my man Peter.
All you have to do is Google 2024 solar eclipse map, and you'll see the trail. Let's do it, Peter.
Let's do it, Peter. Come to New York. I'm gonna get together with you guys, man. Peter was one of the early guests of the Spin It Social Hour, man. What an hour and a half, hour, an hour and a half, whatever we had with him. Lifelong fan of Peter's work. But anyway, so Peter, that we're on for that, all of us.
Yeah, hopefully COVID will be long gone by then.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's move on here because we're getting into the second third quarter here, at least. Man, I tell you, look at these images, folks. You have to check out Anthony's website, anthonyquintano.com. Check him out on TikTok, he'd prefer, over Instagram. Check Anthony out there. Look at all this beauty that he's captured over time between drones and helicopters and Central. There you go, Mitch, Commissioner Silver, if you're watching, Central Park in the beauty of winter. Look at that, man. I'm sure when Mitchell goes back, if he's not still online watching this, he'll love this picture. I'll make sure he knows about it. I'll tag him and tell him. Maine. I've been right here. I was here 2 years ago. What a beautiful! I took that exact shot. Beautiful, beautiful moment. You had a little better sunset than I did. And tell us about this, Anthony.
This is one of my many storm chasing excursions.
Okay.
Basically, this is like some of the other one. This is kind of a wall cloud that's forming. And the great thing about Colorado. Right. Is that you get a lot of hail.
Right.
And the cool thing about hail and storm clouds is that it actually, if you see this kind of coloring, that's hail. That's sunlight that's hitting the hail and the clouds.
Wow.
Which is what's giving you that kind of blue-greenish color.
Amazing.
And it's not a good sign because typically a tornado follows.
Right.
So be very conscious of that if you're ever capturing a cloud like that.
All right, but we gave a shout out to Peter DeSilva before, by the way, from San Francisco. So we're going to highlight San Francisco here on a few amazing shots. Let's go through them here. Look at this, the colors on this, just magnificent. The cloud cover, classic Golden Gate, San Francisco here, folks.
I think it was one amazing morning. I was working, and I woke up early.
Yeah.
And this fog had rolled in. And whenever I see the fog in the San Francisco area, I always wanted to capture Golden Gate fogged in. And this is around sunrise. So I raced over to Marin, the Marin Headlands, and tried to get to the highest point possible so that you could be as high as the towers on the bridge. And that's how you were able to get this shot if you're ever in San Francisco for a foggy day.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And in Rockefeller Center, I know you spent a long time around that area working with NBC and the Today Show. This is a beauty, a beauty. I hope to be going there next week to do some stuff for a lecture I'm building and get some holiday photos if the stuff starts going up. Diker Heights in Staten Island. Shout out to the queen of Staten Island, a viewer of our show, the Spin It Social Hour, Marilyn Zafert, fellow professor of mine at FIT. Had to throw this in there. Look at that. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, this house is famous, I think. I'm a big fan of Christmas, so anything Christmas related, I always try to shoot.
Hell yeah. Look at that, man. I mean, I've never been to Diker Heights. I'm going this year, man. You know what? Just to take a look. I know they still do it, even in COVID. I know that people wanted social distance, and we will. But, man, it is just amazing how much electricity and stuff they set up every year. What a treat. What a treat. And then going on here, of course, you've had the honor of covering the conventions and also with the Obamas and taking photos of them when they were in Hawaii and Air Force One was landing. Great shot of the Secret Service there. And Joe Biden and Jill Biden. This was during the last
convention. This is the 2012 Democratic Convention in North Carolina when basically coming up to Obama's second term.
Right, right. Sorely missed. But coming back. So we've got a new path going forward. What a moment. God, we miss you, man. Here he is, one of the best commanders in chiefs, incredible, incredible president. So I don't stay out of it anymore. I believe that politics needs to be, we need to involve ourselves in politics these days. Nobody can afford to totally be apolitical anymore. A very good friend of mine, Laura Silverman, said that's from a stance of privilege. And I truly do believe that now. And I've always believed it, but more so than ever. I saw this and there's a lot of angles you could get for things when covering a protest or when covering a movement. This really stood out at me. What was it that, made you frame this way, Anthony?
Well, this was actually, I was standing in a crowd of people at the time, and this is during COVID too, which was not the greatest thing. They were slightly social distanced. I was wearing masks. Everyone else was wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And the tough part about protests is that everyone's got signs. Everyone's holding them up. They're holding up flags and whatever. And it can be challenging, but I'm always, always looking at what signs people are holding up.
Yeah.
And I quickly turned around and I saw, it just caught my eye. And I was shooting with a 70 to 200 lens, so I was able to get it tight. And caught it just before he brought down his hand. But this was in a crowd in Times Square at a Black Lives Matter rally.
Right, right. Well, very, very, very powerful shot. And to many a simple shot, not a simple shot, a great shot. And we're gonna move on here just to be able to wrap up a few things here. Your sunset shots. This one here is out of a movie. It's
crazy. Back in Hawaii, that was Shark's Cove on the North Shore of Oahu.
Yeah, it's dreamy, man. It's dreamy. Beautiful use of color in all your imagery. Of course, you were on the tornado hunt for a while with the tornado hunt 2013 there.
After I traveled and chased with them.
Yeah.
This team got hit with a tornado and that truck got destroyed.
Oh my God! Really?
Luckily, the crew was. Some of them did get injured. Two were hospitalized, but they ended up being okay. But they don't do tornado hunt ever since then.
Wow. I guess a lesson learned for some very brave individuals who want to capture the best of Mother Nature, but the worst of Mother Nature too. But I'm glad that they're okay. I'm glad that they're not, doing that right now anymore. Shots like these can always be very dangerous. Yeah. But I wanted to end on this. We're going to come to a conclusion in the next 5 minutes. But I wanted to a couple of more shots after this, but this, I wanted to highlight this because of the work that Anthony did in Hawaii on the volcano again. I put this in at a special moment here because I wanted to cue this up. So there you see Anthony working in Hawaii, and I wanted to give him the recognition he deserves for the work he did and pull this up real quick and share this real quick.
Over the past month, Hawaii residents have depended on the internet to access life-saving information and to communicate with their friends and family during a series of devastating natural disasters. On April 15th and 16th, nearly 50 inches of rain fell on Hanalei on the north shore of Kauai, setting the record for the largest rainfall in a 24-hour period in American history. This storm destroyed many homes, triggered mudslides that closed Kuhio Highway, and damaged local businesses. That same storm also caused widespread flooding and damage on another island on East Oahu. And in an event that has drawn international attention, volcanic activity on Hawaii Island, including fissures along the Kilauea East Rift Zone, around 100 earthquakes per day, lava eruptions, and significant ash falls, has already destroyed 40 structures in the Puna community. More than 2,000 residents have been evacuated as the lava continues to flow and toxic sulfur dioxide pollutes the air. Residents on Kauai, Oahu, and the Big Island have depended on a free and open internet to receive up-to-the-minute and life-saving information from local media, as well as from federal, state, and local governments. Rules on net neutrality established by the Obama administration prevented internet service providers, ISPs, from discriminating against and blocking content. These essential protections help to ensure a level playing field for all content providers and consumers. But under the leadership of Donald Trump's handpicked chairman, the Federal Communications Commission issued an order late last year that would completely eviscerate net neutrality protections. Internet service providers looking to maximize profits should not be able to restrict access to information or slow speeds for providers unable to disaster or other emergency. During the flooding on Kauai and Oahu and the ongoing volcanic activity on Hawaii Island, local news providers have been a critical lifeline for local residents in search of timely, accurate, and understandable information. Traditional newspapers like the Honolulu Star Advertiser, the Garden Island, and the Hawaii Tribune Herald, as well as online news sources like Honolulu Civil Beat, Big Island Now, and Big Island Video News have provided an essential service to the public. Through their websites and social media channels, these news sources have provided detailed reporting about the precise location of hazardous conditions, where evacuees can find shelter and essential services, and where the public can make donations of clothing and non-perishable food. Television stations like Kauai News Now, KITV, and KHON have also used their websites and social media platforms to live stream news reports that have been a critical lifeline for local residents and for their families and friends. National and international journalists have also drawn on the work of local Hawaii journalists to report their stories to a national and international audience. The good work of journalists at Hawaii News Now, KITV, and Anthony Quintano at Civil Beat, for example, is being seen by people across the country and around the world on CNN and NBC News, among others.
All right. So, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. It's a little long, but
well, I lost the moment of the clip, and I didn't want to not go back and forth for our viewers. So I figured I'd let it play. A bit of wasted airtime there, but I took the chance. But I found it at least where your name was mentioned. I wanted to give you the recognition you deserve for that great work you did.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. So we're going to, like I said, we're going to come to a close here. I'm going to rifle through a couple of moments here real quick as we close out and we discuss a few closing things. So here we go. Anthony, I tell you, man, you always take things to new heights, pardon the pun. But there you are, way, way up above Times Square, whether it's having fun with yourself in the ocean and using your drones, whether it's capturing volcanoes, riding in helicopters, shooting from the helicopters, laying down on train tracks, folks. Don't do that at home. And also, here we are once again in Times Square, his office, playing around with the crew at NBC. I love this photo, man. What a great moment. A lot of work done at NBC and many, many, many other things there with Recode.net, NBC, the whole crew there. Shout out to everybody, Al Roker and the gang, and Sri Srinivasan and the crew at the Social Media Weekend and Digi Mentors. Betty White's even got a selfie stick from Anthony, folks. His brother, you wanna give a shout out to your brother?
Yeah, my brother who ended up traveling the world too when he was in his college days. But yeah, this is a great photo of me and my brother when I brought him up there for New Year's Eve, and then my wife, who also loves taking pictures, managed to get her up in a helicopter too to fly over the volcano.
Yep. Shout out to your wife. We had to do that. So
we wouldn't be able to do any of it without the support and from my wife. So, right. Yes.
So we are going to wrap it up, folks. This has been another Spin It Social Hour edition episode with this time with Anthony Quintano. Anthony, thank you so much for coming on. I have a couple of quick promos to do. Please stay on the studio backstage, and I'll be right back with you. Okay.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
All right, Anthony. Everybody follow Anthony Quintano, folks, and share this broadcast. Be right back, Anthony. All right. So, folks, we are going to close out the Spin It Social Hour with an announcement for next week. We have Joe Conzo Jr. from the Bronx. Joe is credited by David Gonzalez of the New York Times as being the photographer who documented the baby images of hip hop, so to speak. Joe was in the crush of the hip hop scene when it was emerging, and he was an EMT also. We're gonna recognize his heroism for what he's done for all of us, but also a really, really great photographer who captured scenes with some of the legendary hip hop artists from back in the days, including the Cold Crush Brothers and others. So we will bring Joe on next week. Please join us next week for Joe Conzo Jr. Thank you very much. And then tomorrow we have the Sri Sunday NYT Read-Along with Rick Berkey, executive editor of STAT. Please join the NYT Read-Along, join Sri and our NYT Read-Along family, and discuss media, journalism, and the best of the best about the news of the week. And there's so much news, as we know, every week. So please tune in and enjoy the NYT Read Along, now celebrating 5 years, Sundays, hashtag NYT Read Along. And finally, She's On Call with my favorite doctors, Dr. Sujana and Dr. Marina. Join in Sundays at 11 a.m. Everything COVID related, everything dealing with health and lifestyle issues. Please join them. Great crew, great show produced by Digi Mentors. Check them out and it'll be great. So folks, thank you again for another great time. Thank you, John Schultz from Paris. I saw Robert Brooks from South Africa. I saw Peter De Silva from San Francisco. We've got a great international audience. David Block, good evening, from Johannesburg. Anthony, you must know. Holly Kaufman-Soul from Rhode Island. Thank you, Jonathan, for all of this. John said, like this definition of a helicopter, a million rivets flying in formation. Okay, folks. Have a great weekend. Please be safe. Wear those masks. Take care of everybody around you, including yourselves. And we will see you next week with Joe Conzo Jr. I am Stephen Kaplan, the Spin It Social Hour, and we are out. Take care, folks. Be well.